Welcome to the Panther Creek Baptist Church podcast, where each week we bring you Pastor Erdy Carter's message from God's Word and help you apply it to your daily life. If you want to join us on Sunday, visit pcbco.org for the time and location.
We're going to begin a new sermon series this morning called Pray First. I would think everybody in the room would say to me that they believe in the power of prayer. Amen? You know, I think we all agree in the power of prayer, but the question we have to ask ourselves when we talk about the power of prayer, do we live by the power of prayer? What I mean by that is, what do we do first? Where do we turn our attention to first when wonderful things happen? Do we stop and praise God? When the bottom falls out, do we stop and go to our knees? When it's just an average day and we get up out of bed, what's the first thing we do? Do we pray? Do we acknowledge the Creator who gave us another day? Do we acknowledge the God who loves us? Well, this whole series is about challenging us to pray first. And I'm just going to be up front with you and say, as a church, that's the thing we have to start doing, or the thing we should do. Let me not say something that I don't know, but that's the thing we have to do, is just pray first. We have to go before God and say, God, what is it you want, not what I want? Because there are things in this world that happen that if it was left up to me, I would solve that completely different than God. I don't know about you, but my ways are not always God's ways, and I can tell you my ways are not always as good as God. My ways are never as good as God's ways. And sometimes we take matters into our own hands. And so this morning I want us to look. It's a little misleading this morning because somebody has already looked at the number of blanks you've got in your outline, and they're already concerned. But, you know, the way I see it, John's given me plenty of time this morning. And it looks like we're only going to look at one verse, but we are going to read one verse, but we're going to look at chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles and you're at Matthew chapter 6, let's stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. So Father, help us to understand what it means to seek first and to trust you that all things will be provided. Give us the faith to do that. Give us the courage. Give us the boldness. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be up front with you this morning. If you are a person who is a worrywart, this is not going to be one of those messages that you walk out going, oh, yay! Because we're going to talk about trusting God and putting God first. Here's the big idea I want you to catch this morning. It's real simple. It's this: prayer is the access point where believers can maintain their lifeline with God their Father. Prayer is one of those powerful tools that God gives us, that we have the ability to connect to God. And yes, there are moments and things that happen in our life that we don't know how to pray, but God knows what we need. But the question is, do we pray first? Do we run after God? Or do we let the bottom fall out and go, well, I better go to God? Which one do you do? Are you one who goes to God first, or is God a last resort? So this morning, let's look at this passage again. It says, but. There's this three-letter word, but seek first the kingdom of God. So when we see that word in Scripture, we have to go, what was before it, and what does he mean that all these things will be provided for you? So when we look at that text, we have to go backwards and understand what God is trying to tell us. And so what I want to do is we're going to just look through chapter 6, and I'm going to try to point out to you some things that we have to do in order to, to do that. First thing I want you to see is we got to seek God first. That's what we catch in this text is we've got to chase after God. We got to seek God first. We got to put God first in our life. And it's easy to say that, but it's not always easy to live that. It's easy to say every year that the Kentucky Wildcats are going to go to the national championship. It's not always easy for them to do that, right? And you know, my father, who especially on football games, my father and my wife text back and forth on football games. My father is the most negative nanny when it comes to football or even basketball. I mean, he'll say, well, we're going to lose this game. We haven't even kicked the ball yet. It's like that commercial, you know, the Dr. Pepper, and they're burning everything, and the guy goes, it's the opening play. You know, sometimes we get in those modes and we already shut things down and we've not sought God first. So verse 33 tells us, but seek God first. In fact, this morning, if you haven't picked yours up, there is a pray first wristband out there for you right on the table. We want you to wear it this month. And as you get up of a morning, As you go to work tomorrow morning, as that person cuts you off on Frederica, before you do anything else, Father, help me to have the patience. You know, pray first. Pray first. Jesus is telling us we have to pray first. So let's look back at some of the things. The second thing I want you to catch, when we're going to pray first, there's some things that have to happen. First is we've got to look to God. So we don't seek the praise of others. Look at verse, when we look through this, we're going to see this in chapter 6. So look with me at verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you'll have no reward with your Father in heaven. Don't seek the praise of others. When Jesus tells them, but seek first the kingdom of God, there's this problem that's going on with the Jewish culture. They like to be seen. They like the praise of others. They like to make sure they can say all these elaborate words. Even in one place in Scripture, we know that there's this Jewish person standing there and, oh, Father, I'm glad I'm not like this person. Sometimes we everything we do, is we're seeking the praise of others rather than the applause of heaven. But when we pray first, it's about seeking God's kingdom. It's about trusting God. It's about looking to God for all His glory. The second thing we see in this text is we don't seek to impress God. Do you realize there's nobody in this room can impress God? God's not impressed by the way you dress. God's not impressed by the number of times you fill a pew. God's not impressed by how big your checkbook is. What God's impressed by is your faithfulness. And even then, He's not impressed. He's just recognized your faithfulness. But in Jewish culture, everything was to do things by impressing God. Look at verse 7 of chapter 6. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they will be heard for their many words. Be heard. You go to Israel, you see different things. You'll see Jewish individuals wearing their prayer shawls, and I've got a prayer shawl that's boxed up right abroad it this morning. But prayer shawl is one of those things, it's like a wide scarf that hangs different lengths. And if you went to the wailing wall, you could take that prayer shawl, you'd put it over your head, you'd pray, you'd walk around praying. But what's interesting in Jewish culture is they will braid the end of the prayer shawl. And it's a symbol of how many Bible verses they know and how smart they are and how... It's all an impressive to make people look and see how good you are. God's not worried about how good we look. He's worried about our hearts. And so when we try to do things ourselves, it's all about how we look, how good we are. I'm good enough, I can handle this. But when we seek God first and we trust Him, it comes to a point where we recognize who we are and who He is, and we need Him. And so when we pray, it's not about babbling to say how good we are, how eloquent our words are. It's not, prayer is nothing about us and what we do. It's about the power and the grace of God who hears our prayers. And so we need to be lifting those up. But to seek first, that means we don't draw attention to ourselves. Look again with me at the scripture at verse 16. We see this again. People would draw attention to themselves constantly. Jesus was telling them, when you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. Oh, look how spiritual they are. They're fasting. A fast is one of those things that Scripture talks about praying, fasting. It's one of those things that nobody knows. You go through the fast so that nobody would be aware. And you go to the fast because you're putting your time that you do whatever on God. It's not on yourselves. I challenge you at times to do a fast. Now, here's the thing. Some of us in this room, and I'm at that age, that you can't fast from food because physically that's you know, there are things that are going on that you need the nourishment of the food. But you can fast from other things. You can fast from social media. You can fast from your TV shows. Students, you cannot fast from school. Just saying. And no, you can't fast from work. You can't tell your boss that, hey, I'm fasting from work. But you can fast from things. And here's the thing. When you fast, the time and the energy you're spending should not be, hey, I quit for fasting, but it should be quiet and turn your attention to God. That's what a fast is all about. Not seeking to draw attention to because, look what I'm doing, but drawing nearer to God. So when you seek first, you don't draw attention to yourself. Now fourth, when you seek first, you don't seek earthly treasures. Look with me at verse 19. And don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves break in and steal. You're not, when you seek things for yourself and not for God, when you don't pray first, when you're not looking to God, the things are all about what you can do, what you can get, how many toys you can have, and how good you are, and all those things. None of that is adding up to the life that God has for us. And when we seek God first, we don't seek to worry. We don't seek to worry. Don't point. And don't raise your hand. But do you worry? Do you worry about tomorrow? Do you worry about what ifs? If you were to receive a phone call today from your boss, your doctor, something along those lines and said, hey, I need to see you tomorrow, how would the rest of the day be for you? Would it be, oh no? Would you worry? Or would you go to God and go, God, I don't know what this is, but I know you hold the future. I know it's all in your hands. Look at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, or about your body, or what you wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Don't spend your time there. Do you believe that God is who He says He is? Do you believe God's on His throne? Do you believe there's anything that you can do that will shock God? No. So then why worry about tomorrow when he's got it? You don't worry. When you seek first, you not only don't worry, but you come and you have a sincere heart. Look with me again at verse 5. When we talk about when you pray, there's this sincerity, this moment, and when you're seeking, it is a true seeking. But whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. Here's the thing. Sincerity. You know what sincerity looks like. Somebody comes to you and speaks to you, you know if they're sincere or not. You know if they're putting on a show. Do you think the God in heaven hears your prayers and knows whether you mean it or whether you're just putting on a show? Oh, Lord, would you just take care of this need? Are you putting on a show? Or is your heart really saying, Lord, I trust you? Lord, I trust you in this. How is the sincerity of your heart? When you seek God first, there is this true sincerity that says, it's whatever you say. And then the last thing we see under seek God first is we find a specific place. I love this moment. And we seek God in a specific place. Do you have a specific place in your house that you pray and you seek God? Pam and I are completely different in how we do this. Pam has a place in the house where it's always her spot. You know her Bible is there. That's where she sits. It's a comfortable chair. In Glasgow, it was either on the sun porch or was in by the fireplace. She's tickled to death. We've bought a house, and it's got a screened-in porch that I think I'll never get her off of. In fact, she's already said, you need to make me a day bed swing so I can just sleep out there. That's her. I can't do that. I like offices with no windows, because I'll look outside in my quiet time and go, oh, look at the deer. Wow. Oh, I need to get out and fix that. Or, man, it's pretty. I should go do something besides sit here. And the whole time, my brain is thinking about outdoors and not thinking about the things of God. And so when we seek God and we have a sincere heart, there's this place that we know that we need to go to. Look at verse 6. Jesus tells us, but when you pray, go into your private room. Shut your door. Pray to your God and Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There's nothing about that everybody sees. It's a private spot for you. It's a place. There's nothing wrong with doing it on your porch. There's nothing wrong doing it in your living room. For me, it's just hard to focus, and so I have to have a private spot where the focus can be on God. The focus can be God-centered. And so when we seek God first, we know we have a sincere heart, but we go to a place where he can be our number one focus. So the second thing I want you to catch today as we think about praying first is we've got to seek God's righteousness. We've got to seek God's righteousness. In verse 33 of chapter 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided. So we know what this text tells us to seek first, and what does that look like? It doesn't look like everybody looking at us. It's not about what we gain. It's about God's glory. So what does it mean to seek his righteousness? Well, first thing I would tell you is you pray to honor God. Pray you honor God. Verse 9, therefore you should pray like this, our Father in heaven, your name be honored. Well, what does that mean? Well, If you've ever been with somebody who's famous, you know that you want to honor them, you want to be nice to them, you want to, it's a privilege to stand in front of them. You watch the Queen of England and how people honored her. They did all sorts of things. Well, when you're talking about God, how do we honor God? Well, we acknowledge He holds the world in His hands. We acknowledge His power. We acknowledge His grace. We acknowledge His righteousness. We come to that place and we acknowledge that we want His kingdom to come now on earth as it is in heaven. We want Him and His glory. When we're seeking God's righteousness, we're trying to honor God. And then look at verse 10. Now, we're going to pray for God's kingdom to come. When we're praying for His righteousness, we're going to pray for His kingdom to come. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's the thing. You got to mean that. You got to mean that. You got to come to a place in your life when you go, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can't call down God's judgment on somebody and then ask for His grace for somebody else. We've got to recognize His judgment is on all of us, but then we got to be praying for His grace for all of us. Because Christ died for all. Christ died for every one of us. He died for the thief on the cross. He died for the person who's in prison for killing somebody. He died for us all. So our hearts need to be, God, your kingdom come. Your will. Not our will. Not our will and how we want things. Not our will and how it should work out. You know, when I was in high school, I would pray like, Lord, I will surrender. I'll go to the mission field if you just get me through this test. Right? You know? We would pray things like, Lord, if she would just say yes, I promise I'll do whatever you ask me to do. That's how I got Pam. And that's why I'm in ministry today. Yeah, everybody's got a mission field. We say prayers like that because what we're trying to do is we're trying to convince God He ought to see things our way. Right? We just want God to see it our way. God, if you just see it my way, His ways are much more perfect. And so we're going to pray for His kingdom. Look at verse 11. We're going to pray for God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven. Actually, that's still in 10. Your will. So let's look at verse 11 now. You know, when we come to a place and we've prayed for God's righteousness, we've sought God, we pray for His righteousness, we've got to seek God's favor. And that's where we're going to end. We're going to seek God's favor. So in verse 11, we see we got to pray God will meet our needs. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Do you know God knows your needs? Do you believe that? God knows your needs. He also knows your wants. And some of our needs are really just our wants. I mean, what do you really need? I mean, think about that. He knows your needs. He'll provide your needs. Your wants, that's a different story. Give us today our daily bread. We got to pray, verse 12, we're going to pray for God to forgive us. Pray for God to forgive you. This is an easy one, I think, for us. Because we mess up, we know we mess up. Oh, Father, forgive us. And forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, there's two pieces of that puzzle. We just ask God to forgive us. And the verse tells us that we are to forgive our debts. But then in the second part of that verse, it says, as we have forgiven our, what? Debtors. Which leads me to the next thing. We've got to learn to forgive others. Now, it's real easy for us to think people ought to forgive us. But is it easy for you to forgive somebody else? I've known people who have gone years without speaking because they can't forgive somebody. I've known people who have been best friends and over something that was so minor, lost a relationship. Why? Because they cannot forgive. What makes us think we're so much special than anybody else? Why should God forgive us and us not forgive somebody else? Oh, I'm not God, that's why I just can't get over it. No, you don't understand the power of forgiveness. Because you don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve to be forgiven. You know what we deserve? Hell. But God gives us grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God forgives us. And we seek that forgiveness. But remember, we've got to be able to forgive somebody else. What makes you think God's going to forgive you when you can't forgive someone else? And I don't know what they did to you, but God does. But I know what you did to God. You put his son on the cross, just as I did. And he forgave us. So, the text tells us we've got to pray for forgiveness, but we've got to also forgive others. There's two more things I want you to catch out of this. We've got to pray for God to protect us. Pray for God to protect us. Now lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. We got to ask God to deliver us. I don't know how your day goes, don't know how your week goes, but how often do you start by praying, God, would you just protect me and guide me? Paul gives us a great example what we're supposed to do every day, put on the full armor of God. When you put on that full armor of God, you're praying, God, would you protect us? Because we're going out into a world who doesn't know you and who may not like us. But would you give us the full armor of God so that we would be protected, that words would not harm us, that actions would not lead us astray, that we would be where God wants us to do. And the last thing we see in that text is really simple, is we've got to affirm God's power because he has the power to do that. He's got the power to do that. Now, Deb, did you get all those? She did. She had already made a comment. That's a lot of blanks today. Look at me. I realize that was a lot of blanks. But when we come to that text in verse 33 and you say, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you, you have to stop and go, what does that mean? And when you go back on chapter 6, you start looking at everything he said. I didn't know any other way than to walk through it the way I did with you. To give you 40, I think it was 40 blanks there. Ultimately, here's what I want you to catch. Here's the so what for you and for me. Let's make prayer our first response, not our last resort. First response, not our last resort. You look at Scripture and you begin to unpack that. You'll notice that Jesus goes away and he spends time in prayer with the Father. Have you ever thought about that? Why does he do that? I mean, because Jesus himself is God. And in Sunday school this morning, we had this conversation of a God being deity and his human nature. And there is this moment in which God steps out of heaven and puts on an earthly body of a man so that he could be fully man and he could experience all the things that you and I experience. He experienced the temptation that we experience, but never the pleasure of sin. He experienced the pain and the suffering. He experienced what it was like to be hungry. He experienced everything. He experienced the need to communicate to the Father. And so what did he do? He made prayer first response, not his last resort. We find Jesus over and over praying to the Father. Moments in which life was full and he steps away and he seeks God first. What does that look like for you? Would you be honest this morning to yourself, no one else? Maybe you have that conversation with your spouse later, but would you just be honest and say, prayer's not my first response? Or maybe it is. And if it is, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Give God thanks. Because you didn't learn that on your own. You learned it through the grace of God. But if it's not, imagine what your life would look like if you did. What would your worries look like if you put God first and started praying first? What would your arguments at home be like if you prayed first rather than spoke? How would your relationship be with others if you put praying first above anything else? I don't want us to make this a tagline, but we've got to make our prayer our first response and not our last resort. If the church is going to move forward, it means prayer first and then actions. This week I had an honest conversation with somebody in the church, and quite honestly, it's probably the most honest thing somebody's ever said to me. And I won't repeat it because I don't have that permission, but ultimately what they have reminded me was, as a church, we've got to start praying first instead of acting first. Because when we act first, we act out of our own self-centeredness of what we want or don't want. But when we pray first, God gives us insights to what we should do and should not do. I just think, man, I'll be upfront and honest with you. I can tell you when I don't pray first. When I don't pray first, life's not very good. Because I don't know if you know this about your pastor, but your pastor's not the brightest crayon in the box. I get in a lot of trouble. I can be self-centered. I can do things on my own power. And when I do all those things, things don't go well for me. When I pray first, I can handle a lot of things through the power of God. Can't do it on my own. So I know what it looks like for me when I don't pray first. What does it look like for you? In this series, we're going to spend our time challenging ourselves to pray first. Couples, you need to pray first before you have an argument. Kids, you need to pray first before you start dating. Church, we need to pray first before we move or do anything. We need to see God's glory.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or a prayer request, you can email us at pcbc@pcbco.org.